Well, thank you. It is a joy to be here. Thank you for allowing us to be part of this missions conference as home missions. And what a delight. I'll tell you what, when I went down there and saw that cabin that the teenagers made, that was really cool. I mean, it has the bunk beds on the inside of the cabin. It has a Bible and the devotional booklet that we used this past year. I mean, on the porch, if you've been at camp, you know that cabin inspection. Now, by the way, whoever put those shoes on the front porch, that's what it looks like, but that was not a 10. You won't get a 10 points for that, because they were a little bit crooked. And so if you want 10 points for your cabin inspection for that cabin downstairs, you better straighten up those shoes or you're not going to. But that was really neat, and that was just a blessing and encouragement to our heart just to see that cabin down there. And thank you. Lots of familiar young people in this church, and it's a blessing to be able to be here and to minister together. So excited about being here. Thank you for the opportunity. This morning we're going to look at how can our feet be beautiful in the area of missions. How can our feet be beautiful in the area of missions and supporting missionaries and the realm of missions? Now, as I go through this, I'll tell you right up front, there's 4 points. The first three will go through fairly quickly, so don't pack up and go home because I want you to get the fourth point as well. But how should we promote missions? And the first thing I have here is promote spiritedly or enthusiastically, but we need the spiritedly to make it alliteration. But promote spiritedly. Now, I realize that as I am here, I'm preaching to the choir. I mean, this apparently is your big event of the year, and that is exciting. I mean, it's exciting to see you it's exciting for me to see you excited about promoting missions. So I realize, but you know, a lot of our independent, separated Bible church, subconsciously, missions has kind of taken a back seat. Oh, they have the plaques on the wall and they have the missionaries, but there's really no excitement about missions and missions conference. You know, we should be, now, I am not saying this because we serve as a home missionary, but I'm primarily thinking of some of our foreign missionaries. I'm not thinking of myself, but we should be holding missionaries up on a pedestal. You ever go in some teenager's room, and in that teenager's room, they have some baseball star, you know, or maybe some basketball star, and it says, just do it, or, you know, something. I've had this idea for a number of years, and I just have not been able to follow it through and see how that would happen. But I would love to sell them in our camp store. I would love to have big posters of missionaries. I really would. And maybe Jim Elliot, and it would say, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain which he cannot lose. Now, how would you like to have your young people have that poster? Or maybe somebody like Hudson Taylor. And one of his quotes is, God isn't looking for people of great faith, but for individuals ready to follow him. Brother Bowen, you're a mission board. I think you ought to take the lead and get some of these posters printed up. we would like, in fact, I was thinking about how I could do this. This has been popping in and out of my mind for a couple of years now, because I would really love to sell them in our camp store. Or, you know, maybe David Livingston, and one of his quotes is, sympathy is no substitute for action. Wouldn't you like to have your kids have those posters plastered over their wall, that's what they're thinking about as they lay their head in their pillow, or that's what they're thinking about when they get up in the morning? But we need to be promoting spiritedly our missionaries. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew 9, verse 36. Matthew chapter 9, beginning with verse 36. And this is about Jesus. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36, it says, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them. When was Jesus moved with compassion? When he saw the multitude. You know what? Some of us sit here in our pews, and that's where you ought to be. You ought to be in our pews, but we never see the multitudes of other countries. You know, I can remember over the years, some missionary would come, and I would say, oh, man, what a need in that country. Maybe that's where I ought to be. And some other missionary would come, and you get a burden. You get a burden for this country because you hear about this. You get a burden for this country because you hear about this. And, man, over here, the people are just receptive. They're just coming to Christ right and left. And you say, well, maybe that's, but when do we begin to have that compassion? When he saw the multitude. And it's a great thing. It's a great thing for us to bring missionaries in and allow them to see their presentation, allow them to present the burden for their work. And it helps us to gain the compassion for those people. Perhaps we could even send young people to a short-term mission field for them to see firsthand. But it's not only young people. Just recently, I read a statistic that the average person, after retirement, they live about 19 years after retirement. Now, I thought about that. For many people, that's 19 years of wasted life. Now, you know the Smiths. They came, I think, 7 or 8 years to camp. They came at the beginning, a couple days before the beginning of summer camp. They stayed for the 8 or 9 weeks or whatever they were there. And what a blessing. What a blessing they were to us and of the things that they were able to do. Perhaps you're at retirement age. Maybe you should consider a short-term mission trip. Maybe to Servant's Heart Camp or talk to Brother Bowen. I'm sure he can find places that he can put you to good use. And don't waste those last 19 years after retirement. So first of all, we have promote spiritedly. And then pray specifically. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And this is Paul, one of the great missionaries. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 25. Well, let's start with verse 24. And I actually have to wonder as I read this, what was Paul thinking? But let's look at verse 24. Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it. And then he throws in this little verse, verse 25, brethren, pray for us. Then he goes on to something else again in verse 26. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. Now, I have to wonder, what was he thinking when he said, brethren, pray for us? You know, that's not real specific, but he had a burden. He said, pray for us. Are you praying for your missionaries? Now, just turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1, and he gives a more specific prayer request. Brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. That folks would come to Christ. 1 week ago, we were at a church in New York, and this was just exciting to me. Somebody had called the pastor and say some relative or somebody they knew was in their area. He said, could you please go visit them? They need Christ. This guy had been in and out of jail. He was just a mess. So the pastor went to visit them, and he gets out of his car, heads up toward the porch, and from the porch he said, who are you? He said, I'm your pastor. He said, you are not. He said, I don't have a pastor and I don't go to church. We said, I'm taking you on. 4 years later, that family came to Christ. They were at church, dressed beautifully, tried to cover up their tattoos that came out from underneath his shirt and tie up here. And I thought, wow. Don't answer this, but do you ever wonder, can the people in my community be saved, or is there such a resistance? I mean, he said, I spent more of my life in jail than I spent out of jail. And right now, he is trying to start a prison ministry because he can relate. But it's hard for a felon to get all the clearances that he needs to go into prison. But, you know, that's what Paul is saying. Pray for us that the Lord would be glorified in lives. Are we praying specifically for our missionaries? Then we go on to verse 2. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. You know, we didn't face the same unreasonable and wicked men that we did face that you face in foreign countries where your life was in danger. We faced some unreasonable men when they put all the restrictions on us as we were trying to build a camp property. You know, I was just thinking about one of the counselors that served at camp this past year. He is now engaged to his fiancée, and they believe that the Lord has called them to the Muslim people. And they realize that they are going into a dangerous situation. And I heard his fiancée, by video, say, you know, I am changing my life verse, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Realizing that there are some dangers where they were going. But Paul's saying, will you pray for us? Will you pray for us? Are we praying for our missionaries? Let's move on. Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6, and this one is an encouragement to me of things that Paul was specifically asking to pray for. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 and 19. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 and 19. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching whereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. This is what I like. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. That's an encouragement for me. I'm thinking, Paul, he is this bold, go-get-em guy. If he needed prayer, that he would open his mouth boldly at the right time. We all need prayer that we would open our mouth boldly at the right time. And just right over a couple pages to Colossians chapter 4. These are prayer requests that Paul had. Colossians chapter 4. Continue in prayer. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mysteries of Christ for which I am in bonds. I confess with you. Oh, God bless the missionaries. Well, that's an okay prayer. I have to tell you that my wife is much better than I am in this. But occasionally we'll read a missionary letter or we'll get a missionary report, and a name will come up of somebody that they had asked us to pray for. And my wife will say, oh, it's so good to hear about them. I've been praying for them for the last 6 months. And you know what? I am thankful for my wife. Are we praying specifically? Now, we send out during summer camp, we send out a weekly email update. By the way, if you'd like to be on that email update, we'd be glad to add you to that list. But we send out a weekly email update. And sometimes we're asking for different things, but I'll tell you what, there is always things to pray for at camp. And sometimes we have prayer requests, but you know what? The program that we use to send that out, we can actually see if someone opened the email. You know what was very, very disheartening for me? To realize, and I'm sure it had to be a mistake. I'm hoping it was a mistake. One of our supporting churches, a church that supports us financially, did not open the email. It just kind of made me feel, wow, you know? Are we praying for our missionaries? Yeah, I realize it takes a couple minutes to read the missionary letters, and we're on one that we get every week, and man, he gives us a whole book every week. And I think, boy, I just wish he'd cut it down and give us the basics. And we get another one, and you know, it's encouraging. to be able to pray for them. But are you promoting spiritedly? You can have beautiful feet as you promote missions. You can have beautiful feet as you're praying specifically. Are you willing to provide sacrificially or provide support? Did you ever have the thought, man, how much do these missionaries make? You know, you come and they say, well, I'm at 50%, and you ask how much support they have already, and you start doing the math, and you say, man, that's way more than I'm making. Our son and daughter-in-law are in a video ministry. They were just in New York doing a video for a church plant up there in Staten Island, New York. They started with a little storefront that sat about, I don't know, 25 people. And they filled it. And up there, it's not that they're coming from another church over here and another church over here. They filled it. I mean, the church started to be full, and they felt, we can't grow. We need more. And they got another church that was, I don't know, 35 or 40 people, another storefront that sat 35, that would have seating for 35 or 40 people. But while they were there, they said, you know, it cost us $3,000 a month to rent the storefront. It cost us $2,000 a month to rent our apartment. That's $5,000 a month, or $60,000 a year before they turn on the lights, before they eat their peanut butter and jelly sandwich. But you know what? If you're interested, go to our son and daughter-in-law's website and watch these people telling how God transformed their lives. And it would want to make you support those and support sacrificially and support the missionaries for what they are doing. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 16 through 18. Philippians chapter 4, this is Paul talking about giving to missions. And 16 through 18. Philippians 4, 16. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Think about that. It's hard to really think about the fact that God is putting something on my ledger plate, on my ledger page. Good job. Praise the Lord. You supported. You financially, sacrificially supported this missionary over here, and you're getting fruit to your account. That's pretty exciting. Verse 18. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which are sent from you, and now listen to this, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. As I was thinking about that, a sacrifice, something that God smells that just makes him delighted. At one point, we served under a pastor, and the deacons, every year, he would invite the deacons. Now, if your pastor doesn't do this, don't be hard on him. But every year, he would invite the deacons over to his home at Christmas time, and he would make steaks. Now, I eat steaks not very often, but even when I eat them, I think, oh, well, this was good. I'll tell you what, I don't know if it's because they were expensive steaks, or I don't know if it's because he knew how to make them. But after we were there the first year, they were good. I mean, I tell you, they were good. And you would walk in the house, and I would smell them. It would almost make me smile. I mean, because I knew what was coming. You know, now, I'm not comparing myself to God, but I was just trying to understand, you know, as God does it, it's a smell of sweet sacrifice. God is well pleased. He said, wow, that smells delightful to see this person giving. That smells delightful to see this person sacrificially supporting the missionaries. So another way that you can have beautiful feet, you can have beautiful feet in the mission area of missions by promoting spiritedly, by providing sacrificially, by praying specifically. But number four is to personally strengthen. How will you and you get involved in the life of a missionary? Do you sometimes think that missionaries are some sort of superhuman person? They have no feelings because of their great spirituality. They have excelled beyond that. They can take everything. There's never any heartaches. They are just going on cloud nine. My brother and sister-in-law went to the mission field when they were in their 50s. My sister-in-law describes that first year on the mission field. She had to go to the market. They didn't have a grocery store type thing, apparently. She had to go to the market and try to remember what is the word for that stuff I want, and point and hand money, and they could have taken all her money. She didn't know how much money she was supposed to get back. She didn't know how much money it cost. They would say something, and she said it was the most stressful year of my life. She would go into the church where the ladies were, and the ladies would be there, and all of a sudden they would start laughing. And she'd, oh, I bet I said something wrong again. But she didn't know what they were laughing about. You know what? She needed somebody to come alongside of her and just let, you know, Joyce, I care. Joyce, I'm praying for you. But, you know, sometimes we read the missionary letters and we just go on to the next thing. But we're a small camp. We get 12 checks every month. They range from $10. Well, sometimes that one isn't even $10. Sometimes it's $5. We get a check from $5 to $200. We get 12 of them. Now, we have some other people that support us quarterly, or some people that support us once a year, or some people that support us sporadically. But we get 12 checks. Do you know which check? There is one in particular that I look the most forward to opening. I mean, I get the mail, and I say, oh, that's from so-and-so. That's $100, and I put it there in a stack. I get the one from the guy that sends $5 or $10. I know there's going to be a note in there. I know he's going to be telling how he's praying. I know he's going to give a word of encouragement. That's the one I open. I open that thing. But you said it's only $10. I'll tell you what, it's bigger encouragement. Don't misunderstand. I'm thankful for the $100 checks, and I'm thankful for the $200 check. Don't misunderstand. But the first one I open up Rod's check. Now, Rod happens to be sitting in jail right now, but he sends a check. And you say, but he has time to pray. Oh, you have time to pray, too. And he will describe, you know, man, I've been praying for you. I send him a letter. He don't really need the receipt, but I send him a letter every time that he sends a check every month, and just kind of give him a little update of what's going on and what God's doing. And he'll say, man, I've been praying for that. You know, how'd it go? How are you involved in the life of your missionary? Now, we're home missionaries, and we can talk, you know, I'm not very good at English, but I can do it a little bit. I can communicate with most people. But, you know, some of these folks that are in foreign countries need somebody to really care about them. Did the Apostle Paul ever need encouragement? Turn with me to 2 Timothy. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. Now, you have turned to 2 Timothy hundreds, yea, thousands of times before. Let's turn to it as if we're turning for the very first time. Let's turn to it as Timothy would have when he received this letter. Now, he didn't receive a letter on nice 8.5 by 11 paper. He had some parchment or something that, from what I understand, the pages were probably not even exactly the same size. You know, some of them were a little bit bigger. It was much thicker. It was probably a, oh, the name slips my mind, the paper. It could have been paper. which I can't think of the name word right now, or it could have been a parchment. But in any event, it was something that didn't come in just a little envelope. And I was just doing a little bit of figuring. There's 1,238 words in 2 Timothy. For regular handwriting, if you put 250 words in a page, it would be about 5 pages. But likely, with the writing that they did, it was likely 100 words per page. So this was 13 pages, even though it's just a little small book. But now let's look at it as Timothy did. He hasn't seen Paul now for quite a while, and he opens this letter and starts reading. Can you read it like you've never read it before? And Timothy is excited, and it says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus." Now, do you think he is hanging on every word? Yes. Do you think he might have said, "Now, I've traveled with Paul. I've seen some of his other letters. He never talked about the promise of life. That's kind of interesting. But that's exciting that we have the promise of life." Do you think his mind might have said, "I wonder why he said that?" Verse 2, "To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace and mercy and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord." Well, yeah, good. Praise the Lord. That sounds like Paul. "I thank God," verse 3, "I thank God whom I have served from my forefathers with pure conscience and without ceasing. I remember of thee and my prayers night and day." Now, how do you think it would have made Timothy feel to say, "Man, Paul is thinking about me night and day"? But then we get to verse 4. "Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy." He's saying, "Boy, I remember when we parted last time. I mean, we cried because we were so close." Now he's saying, "Grateful to desiring to see thee." Now, what do you think Timothy was thinking at this point? "Boy, greatly desiring to see thee, that I might be filled with joy. I wonder if I should make a trip and go visit Paul. I wonder if he's still in jail or if he's gotten out of prison. I wonder what's going on with him." Let's jump down to verse 6. Now listen to this. "Wherefore I put thee, Timothy, in remembrance, that thou, Timothy, stir up the gifts of God, which is in thee, Timothy, by the putting on of my hands." Let's go to verse 8. "Be not thou, Timothy, therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as his prisoner, but be thou, Timothy, partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God." Now, we missed verse 7. See if you notice a difference in verse 7 than you saw in 6 and 8. He says, "For God hath not given us," Paul and Timothy, "the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." Now, think with me. Why did he use the word "us"? Do you think that Paul right now started to have a little bit of fear? I had a godly mother, and she used to say, "I'm not scared of dying." She said, "It's the getting there that I'm concerned about." You know, Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain." But, you know, there's a little bit of apprehension when the moment comes. When there's a little bit of apprehension, when you're not sure how you're going to be killed. Now, what do you think Timothy was thinking right now? Okay, he's greatly desiring to see. It almost seems like there's a little bit of fear in Paul. Jump down to verse 15. "This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me." Boy, Paul is here sharing his heart. He said, "Man, this is disheartening for me. Everybody is turned away from me." Let's jump all the way over to chapter 4, verse 6. Chapter 4, verse 6. Actually, we'll read 6 through 8. "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." You know, somehow we think that Timothy was getting a weekly email, that he would go and open that weekly email, and he knew exactly what was going on with Paul. He didn't know exactly what was going on with Paul. I mean, the letters didn't even come the way letters come now. Somebody probably delivered this. Somebody probably delivered this. And he said, oh, man, I thought, you know, I knew he was in prison before, but he got out, and I was thinking, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Can you imagine how Timothy must have been grieved? He's going back. He said, okay, now I understand in verse 4 why he said he longs to see me, because he doesn't have much time in this earth. Verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. And then verse 9, it says, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Now Paul is getting a little bit more direct. He said, Timothy, I need you. Timothy, I need you. That diligent is make haste, hurry up, be diligent, diligent about coming. Come shortly. The word shortly is quickly or soon or hastily. Then he goes on to verse 10, and he says, for Demas has forsaken me. And again, he goes back and says, man, do you think missionaries ever need a flesh and blood person to come alongside them, encourage them? You say, well, why is he telling us about all these people that forsook him? Didn't he have the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit wasn't going to forsake him. Missionaries are not superhuman beings. Sometimes they need a flesh and blood person to come alongside them. Then Paul goes a little further and starts giving him some specific direction. Verse 13, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchment. I mean, he wanted those books. He wanted that cloak. I wonder why he wanted that cloak. Perhaps because the prison was cold and he was damp. And he was, I mean, when you're cold and damp and miserable and you can't sleep, it just makes things hard. Perhaps he thought, if I just had that cloak, if I could just wrap up in that at night, oh, that would be so great. And he said, bring the books and the parchment. Now, sometimes I have a sanctified imagination. I think, what was that parchment? You think it's possible it's anything that we have in our Bible today? I don't know what that parchment was, but it was important to him. It was important to him to have that parchment. So that is in verse 13. Then look, jump down to verse 21. He says it again. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Now, I know some missionaries that are discouraged. I know some pastors. I know two young pastors right now, two young godly pastors that are struggling with Satan attack of discouragement in their life. And sometimes they need somebody to come alongside. So what do you think Timothy did at this point? This is what I suspect he did. I suspect he laid the letter down and said, I've got to go see Timothy. I've got to go see Paul. Now, you realize it was 1,000 miles between them. Paul is in Rome. Timothy's in Ephesus. He went over, sat down at the computer, and said, let's see. There's a flight here. There's a flight here. This one's a little bit more. Maybe I'll take this flight, but this one's a little sooner. Is that what he did? Why not? Oh, he didn't have a computer. Oh, he didn't have internet or a computer or airplanes. Now, think about this. Paul was 1,000 miles away. Was that a pretty significant sacrifice for Timothy? But there was a missionary that needed him. There was a missionary that needed him. Now, we don't know exactly how Timothy went, but we have a pretty good idea. We know how Paul went when he took that same trip to get to Rome. Do you remember how in the end of Acts, how he went on as a prisoner on this boat, on this ship, and he said to the owners of the boat, he said, man, winter is coming, And perhaps that's why he told Timothy, come before winter, because that is going to be a difficult trip across the Mediterranean Sea. And you might get hung up like we did. But Paul said to these guys, look, things aren't looking good. Let's dock here. We shouldn't go on. And about that time, a gentle breeze came up. And they said, oh, this is exactly the breeze that we were looking for. We're going to set sail and we're going to take out. What happened? The storm came. And Paul said, don't anybody leave. But do you remember how the ship was wrecked? The ship was wrecked, and they held on to a piece of wood and floated to the island of Melita. Now, this is what Paul was asking Timothy to do. He was asking him to make that kind of trip. I realize that you are promoting spiritedly, enthusiastically, missions here. I realize that you are providing sacrificially and you are providing for missionaries. I realize and hope that you are praying specifically for missionaries. But here is my question. Would you be willing over the next month to ask God to show you the missionary that needs support that you could be involved in their life? Would you ask God to show you the missionary that you can send them cards? I mean, actually, things that you would get in the mail. It's pretty amazing. You know, when I like when I get an email, but, you know, I have some teenagers. This is a young girl just got married, and I think, boy, she knows how to actually use a stamp and write and send a little note of thank you. And it was a real encouragement. But would you be willing to say, God, how would you like me to be involved in the life of a missionary? What would you like me to do? Do you think the Lord is able to very clearly put a missionary on your heart and mind? He is. Do you think that you could have beautiful feet by encouraging, just thought of it, just a week or two ago, one of the prayer letters we get, I could just feel the discouragement in this mission family, a delightful couple. They went to work with another couple, they jumped into the ministry, and they said, you know what, we've been here for a year, and we still couldn't lead someone to the Lord in their native language. And now we feel like we're going to have to back up and we're going to have to spend some time in language. And you could almost feel they so desperately wanted to be involved in ministry. And now they're saying, we've got to back up. We've just got to have to take some time and to do our language studies. The couple needs encouragement, a delightful couple. Was it a major sacrifice for Timothy to go to Paul? 1,000 miles. 1,000 miles was a whole lot further. I guess the distance was the same, but the sacrifice to make the 1,000 miles was a whole lot. My challenge this morning is, will you ask God to show you over the next months, doesn't have to be today, can God work in your heart and say, this is a missionary that needs to be encouraged by you? Send him some extra financial gifts. Send him some little things in the mail. Do some things for them to encourage them. Pray for them. Who knows? Maybe sometime you can go and see them face to face and be an encouragement to them. Would you have beautiful feet by looking for a missionary that you can specifically support for God's glory?